The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You can get this show, the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. You can get it on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, on Art19. We're on YouTube. And you can also get all of our content on cincyjungle.com. You can also follow John Sheeran for his updates at John_Sheeran on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, check that out. They didn't have practice on Wednesday. They had practices on Tuesday and interviews on Tuesday. And then they should be open practices Thursday. And then the game is this weekend. So definitely keep an eye on him. And then I'm sure many of you already follow Joe Goodberry as well, at Goodberry. You heard him chiming in on the background of that call there. That was kind of cool. So follow him. Those two guys are bringing some clutch info, especially from a Bengals perspective from the Senior Bowl. We're going to get out of here in just a few minutes, but before we do, we're going to take some listener questions. We've already got a couple teed up, I believe, but if you want to try and get one in here at the end, you can leave it in the live YouTube chat. Maybe give us a call or shoot us a text at 949-542-6241. We'll try and get to that. We do have a text that already came in, and it is from Frank in Virginia. I think the question is asking, how confident are we that Del Rio will be coming on board? If he does, I seem to remember that he ran a 3-4 defense. So that's an interesting situation, because the Bengals have the personnel for a 4-3 tradition, more traditional style offense. And sorry about that. That was the call coming in. We'll try and get to you in a sec. If you could try again in a minute. But anyway, the Bengals have more of a 4-3 type of traditional defense that they run. They've got the big defensive ends currently on the roster, more of the traditional mold. Sam Hubbard, Carlos Dunlap, Michael Johnson is currently on the roster. Geno Atkins is not a nose tackle in a 3-4 system. So there's that, but there's also the idea that, Cincinnati may get diverse on that side of the ball. Del Rio did run a 3-4 a lot of times in Jacksonville, but it's more about being diverse on that side of the ball now, I think. And, the Bengals are trying to do some different things on that side of the ball by overhauling the linebacker group, probably getting some more guys. They do have kind of some pieces to do a 3-4 type of style of defense. That would be, you know, you've got your Carl Lawson, kind of the edge rusher guy that was initially looked at or initially pegged as an outside linebacker when he first got to the team. But I mean, he's an edge rusher. You have guys like that, but you also look at the Rams, right? The Rams kind of run a hybridish 3-4-ish, but they have Ndamukong Suh. They have Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's definitely in the mold of Geno Atkins. So, you know, Del Rio, I'm pretty confident that he could come up with a system that, you know, could suit what the Bengals have and allow them to bring in more people. We've got another call on the line here, so we're going to get to that. Hi, this is the Orange and Black Insider. Who's this?
How you doing, Terrell?
Terrell, wouldn't be Wednesday without you, my friend. How are you, sir?
Oh yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Trying to play operator, host, all that kind of stuff. So I apologize if I missed yours and other calls, but I'm doing all right, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. You know, you and John and a couple of special guests, I mean, you're the ones that make it great, though. So, but I've been trying to do a couple of scouting and stuff on my other side or whatever, too. But
okay.
I do got a couple of people that I be doing this to and stuff, like Mel Kiper. That's really the biggest one. I was like, man, y'all can hear everybody else doing okay. But anyway, I said a couple of days ago, he basically, long story short, he basically trying to say the linebacker for us, she was basically the one that fall down to us, looked like he might be, well, you know, it ain't, it's all said and done, but, you know, it looked like he might be shooting up past us. And then I think they talking about the right tackle from Florida. I forgot his name.
Yeah, Juwan Taylor, I believe, is the tackle from Florida.
Yeah. They say he's pretty solid and, I mean, definitely better than what we got over there. He seems like he could be a solid right tackle. But when you talk about Daniel, the quarterback from Duke, I thought he looked pretty all right. I've been watching college football, and I've been seeing him a couple of games, and I don't know if John said he kind of looked like I definitely don't want that, but I thought he was kind of like a Mitchell Trubisky or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
makes sense. Same school, that, same mold, right? I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah. And the Bill right? Callahan thing, I mean, all the quarterback guru thing, I know everybody's looking for the quarterback guru type thing. The way it's looking, man, it looks like they want to hurry up and make basically jack up Dalton's talent, I mean, draft stock, I mean, basically trade stock up, but I really didn't see too much of what he did, too much of with the Raiders, but he really didn't have too much to work with for real, and I don't know what too much he did over in Washington, but at least Bill Lazor, the Donald Landry, and Tyler Boyd, so let's just see what he's going to do with, John Ross.
Yeah, I mean that's the big question this year. I'm gonna take your call off the air here, Terrell, because there's a couple of prospects that you talked about that I think were interesting. So thanks for your call, bud. First of all, I misspoke. I meant when I said same school, I confused Duke and North Carolina. I know Mitch Trubisky went to North Carolina and Daniel Jones is from Duke. Same state. Come on, give me a break. Sorry, but. Yeah, see, this is the thing with Jones. I like I said when we were talking with John, he was a guy that initially I was starting to kind of warm up to, and then I kind of started hearing some reports and all that kind of stuff about him being dry and him not maybe doing so great in, you know, practices and all that kind of stuff. But look, unfortunately, this is where we get to be a little too hard on some of these young guys. Okay, first of all, when they don't play well in these college bowl, these scout bowl games, I mean, they get a couple of practices to play together, and then they get thrown into a game to try and, you know, have a great performance. It's difficult, regardless of how good you are. Okay, number two, this whole process, combine, Senior Bowl, all that stuff, it is paralysis by overanalysis. I mean, there are things that just, you know, Daniel Jones comes off a little dry. I saw he, and kudos to Goodberry for asking him kind of a different question, one that was a little off script, but I saw Goodberry ask him a question, and he didn't really have a great answer to it. I think it was about batted passes at the line. So, you know, there's some red flags there. But, I mean, overall, you know, you got to look at the tape. You got to look at how he did against, you know, some good type of competition. You got to look at some certain statistical areas, completion percentage, turnovers, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, size, you know, that's something to think about. So, you know, in terms of Jones, he's a guy that, you know, he'll be in that first round conversation. He may, with combine and all that kind of stuff, he may be a guy that shows up and all of a sudden catapults himself into that top 15 without question, maybe even top 10, especially for teams that might be starved for a quarterback. The Bengals might be one. We don't know exactly where Zach Taylor's mindset is on that. Duke Tobin came to Andy Dalton's support this week in Mobile, but you know, who knows? There's also Juwan Taylor. That is a guy that has been recently mocked to the Bengals at number 11. I think that's a little bit of a reach. He is a true right tackle in the NFL. It is a need for the Bengals. The Bengals have, you know, a need at right tackle. Bobby Hart is not the answer, obviously. So that is something to think about. I personally have some other people I may have ahead of him, but even Jonah, I believe it's Jonah Williams, the kid from Alabama. He had a rough game against Clemson, and yeah, it's Clemson with their great defensive line, but you're going to face that kind of competition almost every single week, almost every single game in the NFL. So, you know, if he's not going that great, if he's not doing that well against that kind of competition at the college level, that's a little concerning going forward there. There are a number of different players that are linked, you know, and then there's the LSU kid, the linebacker. I understand that linebacker has kind of become a little bit of a lower premium type of position in today's NFL. You want kind of those hybrid safety linebacker guys. Your Mark Barons, the Nykel Robies, and all those guys. But you know, there is a need for a savvy veteran linebacker to anchor your defense, and Roquan Smith is definitely an example, and his impact on the Bears this last year is what is a prime example of that. We've got another call on the line. We're going to get to that here, and then we're going to get out of here. So let's grab that. Hi, this is the Orange and Black Insider. Who's this?
Hey, it's John from Kentucky.
Ah, John, another regular. How are you, sir?
Thanks for taking my call. Seriously, listen, it is a new dawn in Cincinnati, as you can see. I do think you're going to be getting a lot of calls to your podcast. I'm just going to tell you, I will volunteer if I can help you guys in any way. Call screener, you name it, anything.
I appreciate that. You know, I might need that.
Shoot me an email or whatever.
I appreciate that. I might need that. You know, it, yeah, I, you know, John and I try and manage, how we, you know, all the other stuff, the responsibilities, but, rounding up guests and answering phones and hosting it, it's a lot to juggle. So I may hit you up for that, John. I appreciate that. But what's on your mind tonight?
Well, everybody's talking, you know, new quarterback and whatnot. Look, from what I heard from, Duke Tobin this past week, he's not real big on finding a quarterback just yet. He seems to want to stay with Dalton, but he's very interested in increasing the speed of the offense and getting better players on the line on both sides of the ball. So we'll just see how that plays out. My prediction is I don't think they move from Dalton this next season. I think they're going to let him play his contract, and they are looking for the quarterback in the future. But Dalton, with his stats being that he's been injured very little, being that this division is as smash mouth as it is, I don't think they are ready to just boot Dalton right out the door and take a risk on a rookie just yet, especially with Dalton still under contract.
That's a good point. And also, I mean, you got to look at the landscape of this division. Yes, the Bengals split with the Ravens, and the Ravens kind of had an upward swing when they made a move to their quarterback. Yes, same thing happened with the Browns. But then you look at the Steelers. I never count them out fully, but they are a bit of a mess right now on a number of different fronts. And all teams, if I remember correctly, I think it was 9 or 10 wins by the Ravens that ended up winning the division. And, you know, the Browns, the Steelers, and the Ravens were all kind of neck and neck as the season got, you know, wore on. The Bengals, they stay healthy. They make some changes, especially amongst the coaching staff and at head coaching. They get a couple of other nice pieces, help out the offensive line. I mean, all of a sudden this becomes a wide open division again. I want to say this too. You mentioned speed on offense, and that's something Duke Tobin is looking at, John.
Yeah.
You know, you look back to Jared Goff's first year, rookie year. Granted, he only started 7 games, but 5 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Well, what have the Rams done the past 2 off seasons? Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, Josh Reynolds. They add receivers upon receivers upon receivers and guys that can do, you know, Higbee at tight end. And lo and behold, and also, you know, some stuff on the offensive line, Andrew Whitworth being one. But lo and behold, Jared Goff, second year, 28 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Third year, 32 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. So it's not rocket science that yes, the arrow is trending upward in terms of superstardom for Jared Goff. I do not put him in the same stratosphere as a Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, or others. What I do put him in as is a very good quarterback that has an outstanding supporting cast. He could elevate into superstardom, but the Rams, you got to give him credit. They brought a lot of help to him, and that raised his game. Well, he did raise others as well, but that's something you got to look at, especially in this process, this scouting process, I think. And you mentioned that about Duke Tobin talking about getting faster on offense, potentially adding more pieces.
Yes, exactly. And another thing, too, everybody is always saying, well, Dalton's only as good as the players around him. Well, what about the coaches? You know, how good is Dalton with different coaches? Now, that we absolutely have got to take a look at before you just get rid of him. As I said, he needs to play under this new coaching staff and see what he's done, what he can do. His stats have been too good in Cincinnati to simply, like I said, take a risk, you know, on a rookie immediately and go ahead and cut Dalton. I'd cut Drake Kirkpatrick in seconds. I would cut Andy. Well, I would.
No, I know. Seriously, I know. I know.
I'd cut Andy Dalton.
Yeah, no, I got you. I'm laughing because I know your thoughts on Drake Kirkpatrick. Hey, quickly before I get you out of here, John, just to get you before we get you out on the out of here, I want to tell you about Drake Kirkpatrick's stats in case you haven't looked them up recently, my friend. This last year, 2018, 0 interceptions. Okay?
No interceptions.
0 interceptions. 2017, 1 interception. So in the past 2 years, he's played 27 total games and has had 1 interception. So.
And what is his salary?
I mean, I don't have that offhand, but it's relatively high.
I think it's like $50 million, I think. I could be wrong.
Well, my point is you know, I talked to you about, you know, we joke about Kirkpatrick and your thoughts on him, but really he is not pulling his weight. I mean, especially in we can sit here and bag on Terrell Austin all we want, but his defense was supposedly, you know, made to create turnovers, and he wasn't even doing that then. 2019, his cap hit is almost $11 million this next year, John. $10.9 million, according to Spotrac. So there you go.
10.9. So that would free up a lot of money just by cutting him.
Yep, but then they also need to, you know, think about re-signing Denard and others too. But, John, we're going to get out of here. I appreciate your call. Thanks. We'll hopefully talk to you next week or in the near future, my friend.
Okay, I'll be in touch.
All right.
Thank you.
That was John from Kentucky calling in again. Thanks to our callers, our texters. We've had a lot of questions. We're going to get out of here again. This is the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. I'm Anthony Cosenza. You heard earlier from my other co-host, John Sheeran. Unfortunately, we didn't hear from Scott Schulte. We thought we might, but he is probably going to be joining us at some point here and there, especially as the draft comes in, because, you know, He wants to talk Bengals. He's excited about things, too. He and I exchanged texts there. But our thanks to John for calling in while he was at the Senior Bowl. No rest for the wicked there. You can get this show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Art19. We're also on YouTube, and all of our stuff is on CincyJungle.com. My thanks to all of you out there for your patience tonight. I was kind of juggling a lot with the phones and all kinds of things. So I appreciate your patience and maybe some extra little sound effects and whatnot that made it onto the program. So I apologize about that. But, hey, we all deal with it, right? So appreciate the support. Appreciate you tuning in and get the show how you can. We'll see you next week, if not sooner, should some news break. But keep it to CincyJungle.com for all the news, opinions, analysis. And the Super Bowl can't be completed soon enough so the Bengals can get their new head coach, right? See you next time. My name is Spencer Hall.
My name is Jason Kirk.
My name is Ryan Nanny.
And when we combine, we form
the Shutdown Fullcast.
I keep telling you, we're not Voltron.
The Shutdown Fullcast is technically a college football podcast, but it's also a show about
lawn care disasters,
regional grocery stores we love,
Tennessee Batman,
homeowners associations,
Bears in video games.
I mean, there's also some actual football discussion, like about coaches having huge contracts or coaches making terrible decisions or coaches saying really stupid things.
Or the NCAA saying really stupid things.
Yeah, there's lots of stupid things in this big, dumb, beautiful sport.
Sometimes we talk about football games.
Allegedly.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it deserves to be taken, come find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts like this one.
The Shutdown Fullcast.
It's not Voltron.